this summer, we are going through God at the Movie. And this past Sunday, I preached a message called, Are You the Hero? Are you the hero or the villain of your own story? I watched the movie Spider-Man, and we had thoughts from Spider-Man in the movie. Listen, if you want to be the hero of your story, or you might not be sure if you're the villain, this is a must-hear message, and it's just for you. Go ahead, listen in. Matthew chapter 28. You found that, say amen. Stand for the reading of the scripture. Amen. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. Very familiar passage of scripture. The Great Commission. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 19 and verse 20. It reads as such. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Amen. Behold, I am with you until the end of the age. May we bow. Father God, we thank you today. 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 We thank you today, God. We lift you up today, God. We lift you up today. We glorify your name. Lord, we pray today, Father God, that you are placed at the forefront today, God. We pray today, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Father God. We pray that this word today reaches down, grabs someone's heart today, and changes a life, God. We pray today, Father God, that this word today, Father God, lift someone up that came in that may be brought down, God. So we're going to say first, before we even start, that we love you today. We want to say that we thank you for what you're doing in us and what you're doing through us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us all say amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 Today I want to talk about, as we're going through God at the Movies, each week we have taken movies that have been box office or even internet sensations, because we started with When They See Us, and we talked about that, and so we did The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, and we've talked about that. And today I picked Spider-Man. I kind of have a bias for Spider-Man. Spider-Man was one of my favorite action heroes, so I got a real good treat in watching Spider-Man a couple of times. Amen. So I'm excited. But this week, Spider-Man helps us as one of those heroes that is, one, synonymous with Superman. As a matter of fact, the creators had kind of the same thoughts as he was creating Spider-Man with Superman. And this week, as watching the movie, starts off from the end of Avengers Endgame. I don't know if you're a Marvel fan or if you watch Marvel comics, but I'm a big Marvel fan. We used to have this show that used to come on every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. They don't have it on anymore, but at 7 o'clock a.m. when I was a kid, a show came on called Super Friends. Amen. And so we would watch Super Friends every week. And so I love the Avengers and the Marvel comics. But it starts off from the end of Avengers, and Tony Stark is dead. And as the movie starts, there's a blip. And so everybody that's been caught up in the blip has now shown back up. They have a new life. But the problem is 5 years have passed. And Spider-Man shows up to find out that his friends have been all separated, and he finds out that Tony Stark is dead. But if you watch Avengers or all of the Avengers movies, you know that Spider-Man, Tony Stark, had a big help with Spider-Man. And so he was like his big brother. And so Spider-Man looked up to him. But because of the hurt that he had experienced from that, Spider-Man had decided that he was not going to be a hero anymore. He was just going to live his life as normal as possible. But how many of you know sometimes when you try to live life normal as possible, things just keep getting in the way? And this is what happens with Spider-Man in the movie. He's trying to live a normal high school life. He's got a crush on a little high school girl. And he decides that he's not going to be a superhero anymore. And Nick Fury is trying to call him because there is a pressing situation that's going on. But Spider-Man, because he is running from responsibility, has decided that he's not going to show up this time. So every time Nick Fury calls, he decides to ghost him, as they say in the movie. He decides to ghost him. He doesn't want to answer the phone call. He runs. He does anything but talk to Nick Fury about the responsibility that he has to take care of. And so as he goes on and the movie goes on, he decides that he's going to ignore it and he's going to go on his senior trip. And as he gets on his senior trip, the responsibility comes right where he's at because Nick Fury has upgraded everybody and gave them directions to go right there where all of the conflict is. So now, as he's running from responsibility, he winds up running to more responsibility. And I want to help you today because a lot of times we are here, a lot of us are in life, are running from a lot of situations. We're running from a lot of hurts. We're running from a lot of pain. We're running from a lot of things that we just don't want to deal with. Anybody been in that place in life where you just running from stuff that you don't want to deal with? It's too hard to deal with. I believe in this text, there are some people that have been running from some situations because if you follow the Great Commission, Jesus has been crucified. And they were doing all of this great work. They were making all of these miracles. They were literally flipping the world upside down, and their hero was crucified. And so here, a few days after he's been crucified, we know that Peter was all upset. We know that they were dealing with their doubts, because even in this text right here, before Jesus commissioned him, the text says there were some that worshiped, but there were others that doubted. Anybody been in the presence of Jesus and you still couldn't get rid of the hurt that you had already experienced? The text says some still were doubting. In the presence of who Jesus is, seeing him, you know it's him. You can tell it by the way he walked. You can hear him from afar off. You ought to be able to see his essence from a long way. And there were some people, plus you already had directives to be at this place at a certain time. And here it is, he's coming. Some are worshiping and some are doubting. And I believe this is this thing that's getting ready to happen, that he gives the church its marching orders. Because he's coming and he's trying to commission them and he's giving them their marching orders, but some are doubting. There are some people call this the Great Commission, but there are others that call it the Great Omission. Because what their new philosophers that say is, what they're saying is, there are some people that look at this as a commission, and this is what the charge of the church is to be. But there are some that just teach around it and skip over it and would rather be focused on anything other than what Jesus is talking about in this scripture. And so there are some people that call it the Great Omission, and it's really called the Great Omission because of a failure to run to responsibility. So we'll put a Christian label on something, but because we don't want to be responsible for making disciples, we run from the command that Jesus has said. And so what I want to help you today is, if you're going to be the hero of the story, because Spider-Man, the movie Spider-Man Far From Home, I want to tag this, are you the hero? Amen. And so if I'm going to be the hero, I've got to make sure I do a few things. And the first thing I got to do if I decide that I'm going to be the hero is decide that I'm going to deal with the command. I got to deal with the command. I've got to deal with the command. I've got to tell somebody, tell them, I got to deal with the command. I got to deal with the command. How do I deal with the command? Well, Jesus says, go therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Well, I can't ghost that command. Basically, I can't play like I didn't hear that. I can't play like I didn't read that. I can't act as if there's nothing that Jesus said right there. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of who? All nations. That means every person on this earth is responsible for somebody, and they're waiting on somebody to make a disciple of them. That means there are going to be some smart people. They need to be made disciples. There are going to be some people that are intellectually challenged. They're going to be made disciples. There are going to be some people that are black, white, brown, Hispanic, African. They're going to all need to be made disciples. And too many times the church has become a country club because we really don't want to deal with the command. But my question to you today is, are you the hero? Because there's a part in the story where Nick Fury tells him, with great power comes great responsibility. And so if you're going to be the hero, if you're going to have all of this power, you can't be like everybody else because you are the hero. Am I talking to any heroes in this house today? Anybody that knows for a fact that I am a hero, and this is how you know if I'm a hero, has God done something for you? Has God changed your life? Has God given you something to praise him about? Has God really changed your heart so that you can see him in everything you do every day in every way? You are the hero. You have great responsibility. And your responsibility is that I got to deal with the command. I want to ask you something. What causes us to really miss the command? Because every time I've heard this text, we can go in, we'll talk about it. But a lot of times, we miss the command. I mean, we really miss it. I mean, this text is pretty simple, but as I was praying about it, I was going through it. I'm like, okay, so if I'm the hero and this is the great omission, because we always seem to miss it. We get so caught up in programs and not really dealing with people and stuff that's going on, because I know it's like that, because there are sometimes when I say, hey, let's go out, let's go tell somebody about Jesus and I want to help you, there are not a few people show up on those days. Why? Because we don't want to deal with the command. There's four reasons why we don't deal with the command. I'm going to go through them real quick. One is we're too ambitious. And so because we got our eyes on other things, we want to look like the Joneses, so I got to work 2-3 jobs so I can look like the Joneses. I'm too ambitious. I made myself seem more important than I really am. I'm too ambitious. I want everybody else to approve of my lifestyle, but really God isn't approving of it. I'm too ambitious. And so if I'm ambitious, ambition robs vision. Because all it means to be ambitious is that I'm copying a standard or a process that I've seen. When I'm really in the presence of God, I'm listening for his directives. And so it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what everybody else has done. My real responsibility is, what does God say? What is he saying to me about this circumstance, about this situation, about my next move in life? And so a lot of times we're just too ambitious. And that will take us away from dealing with the command. Some of us, we're just deflated. And we've just given our power away. We're powerless. And let me help you with something. The word says, Jesus tells him before he gives him the Great Commission, the scripture before that, he says, all authority. Did y'all read that in your Bible? It says, all authority. So if I'm feeling powerless, and I want to say powerless, because the text says all authority has been given to who? God. So if he's dealing with all authority on heaven and all authority on earth, and I'm feeling powerless, that automatically shows you that you are not walking according to the kingdom of God. If I'm feeling deflated, I don't want to get out of the bed, I don't want to fool with anybody, and I'm having all these pity parties, it's saying that I'm powerless, but God has already said that I have all authority on heaven and earth. So that means your situation, the stuff you crying about, the stuff you tripping over, I've got power over that. But that's why we don't want to deal with it, because you know what? Somebody might see me. I don't know. I don't know, Pastor E, because I got these things. You just don't understand. I got these problems. Deflated. The other one is fear. Fear will rob your faith. Fear will rob you of your faith, because fear and faith can't operate in the same place. Faith always requires that I stretch. Fear always requires that I be comfortable. Faith always requires that I take the next move, not knowing how it's going to turn out sometime. I told my nephew one time, faith and foolishness look a lot alike. The only way you know which one is faith and foolish is if I can verify it in the Word. And so sometimes we get so fearful that we stop taking chances in life, and we just kind of turn off the chance taker in us, and we just decide that we're just going to just go through life fearful. And this is how you know somebody is dealing with a lot of fear in their life, is because they can't stop complaining. When you see the children of Israel, they have this command to do something nobody else has done. They've got an opportunity to make history. They've got a chance to be the hero, but then they have become the example because they walk out. But then when they walk out, they were looking for some familiar ground. And because they were looking for familiar, they started complaining because they couldn't see what they used to see. And God has said, I'm trying to move you into the next level, and you're not going to see what you used to see. You're not going to act like you used to act. You're not going to talk like you used to act. But because I'm fearful, I don't take the next step. And so I got to move from that. And the last one is hurt. Because a lot of us have unprocessed hurt. And I'm just going to let that sit right there. You know what you have. You know who you ain't forgiven. You know who you haven't forgiven. And so we got this hurt. And so I want to tell you today that if you're going to be the hero and you're going to deal with the command that God has given us, I've got to make sure I get away from the familiar. When it's familiar, I got to know that this may not be for me. I got to really check this, because God really didn't want me to just stay in the familiar zone. Amen. He says that I got to go. This text says, go therefore, make disciples. And what he's saying is, I'm not just going, but he's telling us how to go. When I get away from the familiar, I can't stand still. The text says, go, but as I'm going, I got to make disciples. So he's saying, going, he says, go therefore and make. The and means it ties the go and the make together. So what he's saying is, as I'm going, I'm making. As I'm going, I'm making. As I'm changing somebody else. As I'm working on this, guess what? I'm helping somebody else work on that. As I'm working on that, guess what? I'm helping somebody else work on that. And so as I'm going, I'm making. So as I'm dealing with myself, I'm also replicating the changed person in somebody else. He's saying, go and make. And a lot of times, we don't even go. So if I'm not going, so what is he talking about? Go. That means I'm actively looking for somebody to make. I'm at the coffee shop. I'm looking to make somebody a disciple. I'm at lunch. I'm looking to make somebody a disciple. I'm at work. I'm looking to make somebody a disciple. Not because of the things I got going on and I'm looking for Jesus to show up, but because I already know I'm the hero. So a lot of times we're looking for Jesus to show up and give us a handout for a bill we can't pay. No. He's saying, go and make disciples, and if you put your focus on me, all of these things will be added unto you. But too many times we're looking at the things and waiting on God to give us the things, and he's saying, go and make first. Is there anybody being blessed today? Because when we get away from the familiar, I believe God shows up and does some great things in our life. Amen. He says, not only get away from the familiar, but we got to go where he sent you. He says, make disciples of all nations, which means I got to think bigger than my neighborhood. I got to be thinking globally. I got to be thinking outside of my comfort zone. I got to go to Puerto Rico for a week where everything is in Spanish, including the street signs,
and everybody taking your orders in Spanish, and I don't even know how to order a hamburger. That's outside my comfort zone, Brother Mike. But you know what happens when you go outside your comfort zone? You see stuff you wasn't used to seeing. You see a whole different process, a whole different approach to this thing, and you see that really it's just like the day of Pentecost. Somebody can be worshiping in Spanish, and you can literally feel the thickness of the Holy Spirit, and you don't even know what they're saying. You got to get out of your comfort zone. When I get away from the familiar, amen, God starts to show up as I deal with the command. I go where he sends me. So you're saying, okay, how do I go where he sent me? Well, I want you to just do a quick inventory of your life as you're going where he sent you. You say, well, how do I know this is the place God sent me, right? Because I get this question a lot, so I just have to deal with it. Really, look, it's the place you have influence. It's not even that hard. Where do you have influence? You say, well, Pastor, what is influence? I got something that I do really well. That's my place of influence. See, I might can sing, and I have to use my singing to make disciples. I might be really relational, and I use my relationships to make disciples. I might be an introvert, but I like to write, but I bet you what, I'm going to be writing and writing until somebody read my writing and they become a disciple. I've got some place in my life. That's why God gives us different gifts, but all of our gifts are used for one purpose, to make disciples. I don't care what you come in here with, your gift is supposed to make disciples. And so when I'm making disciples, that's how I know that I'm going where he sent me. And so a lot of people are like, what am I supposed to do in life? What is my purpose? I don't know. Just make disciples with the gifts he's given you. It's really that simple. Doesn't it sound simple? I mean, I gave you a gift, you perfect the gift, and then people come to me. Because you don't take the credit, you give God the glory. See, because as soon as you get a little gifted and you start the anointing, because your gifts work like this. The more I perfect my gift, the more anointing he gives me. The more anointing he gives me, the more people start to praise and look at me. But my responsibility as a leader is when they start to put this anointing on me, they start to see the anointing to put their honor on Christ. Because once Christ gets the glory, then guess what he does? He gives me a deeper level of anointing. And then as somebody else sees it, then guess what? I point to God, and guess what God does? He gives me a deeper level of anointing. And so all anointing means is effectiveness. So I become more and more and more effective, and I used to couldn't hold two sticks together. I become the hero of my own story. That's the question. Are you the hero or the villain of your own story? Are you the hero or the villain of your own story? There's a man by the name of Michael Brady. He was a real life action hero. He played in probably 30 or 40 movies as a stuntman double. And so every time these scenes would get to the real life hard part that the actor couldn't do, Michael Brady was the real hero in the movie. And so there was one day he was at work and he was getting ready to do a stunt where he parachutes and dives onto the plane on a train, and he was climbing a ladder and he was looking down to see and assess what he was going to have to do, and he slipped and he fell and he broke his neck and he died. Sad story. He was 37 years old, and true story. But he was an organ donor. And so because he was an organ donor, there was a 57-year-old man who had been waiting for a heart transplant for at least 90 days. As he was waiting for this heart transplant, all of a sudden, he gets rushed to the hospital. They put the heart transplant in, and he literally gives his testimony. He says, before the transplant, I was wildly, grossly out of shape. He said, but right after I got the transplant, the family of Michael Brady sent me his picture. And they started telling me more about his life and what are the things he did? He was in shape. He ate right. He did all of the right things. He just had an accident. So he decided that he said, surely if this man's heart is what allowed me to live, I got to do a better job of taking care of myself. Surely if it's this man that allows me to take every single breath, I can't dishonor his heart by continuing my former lifestyle. I've got to be more healthy. And so he got healthy. He started eating the right things. He started working out every day. He started lifting weights. As a matter of fact, he went from being very sick to very healthy. He was doing so good that the family wanted to see him. And the father comes up. His kids come up. His sisters come up. They all come. But something different, the dad decided that as he was coming, he brought with him a little stethoscope. And the dad said to him, he said, can I do something? He said, I just want to listen to my son's heartbeat. And so as they were standing there, the dad took it out and he put it up to his heart and he just listened for a few minutes. And he said, you know, it does my heart good to know that his heart is still beating. My son's heart is still beating in your life. Now, let me tell you something. Not only did he get his health right, but he also got his spirit right. And so what his heart was able to do was it not only saved somebody else's life, but there were other people at the event that talked about how they had been led to Christ because of the heart transplant from his son. And I believe that God is doing the same thing today. When he reaches down with the stethoscope through heaven and puts it up to your heart, I believe God is asking the question, can I hear the heartbeat of my son? Because my heart beats, my son's heartbeat, what drives my son's heartbeat is to see people coming to Jesus. What drives my son's heartbeat, I believe God is saying, what drives my heart, my son's heartbeat is when people come to know me as a result of my son dying on the cross. What drives my son's heartbeat is when people know me for who I am. But you got to ask yourself, is my heart beating for God? See, that's really the question. I mean, we can talk about all this stuff you need to do, but the question is my heart truly beating for God? And when you know that your heart is beating for God, it drives you to be the hero. See, when my heart is beating for Jesus, it drives me to be more and more like him. So I become the action hero. But the question I have for you, are you the hero or are you the villain? Because I believe that's a great question to ask because, I mean, we can pretend like we're the hero, but in truth, we could be the villain. Because when you study villains, did you know that most of the villains never intended to be the villain? They weren't born to be the villain. I mean, Lex Luthor didn't start his life saying, my life's accomplishment is to be Superman's nemesis. I mean, Lex Luthor, he wasn't born that way, but because he couldn't deal with things the correct way, he became the villain. And a lot of us today, we are intending on being the hero, but in reality, we're living like villains. Can I help you understand if you are a hero or a villain? Because every one of them has a process, and here it is right here. If I'm the hero, let me help you. If I'm a villain, the villains stimulate action by going counter to the natural order. And so when I'm going counter to the natural order, I don't know, but I start to follow the villain's process. Can I help you real quick? Well, the first thing is I'm hurt. If you study Lex Luthor and you look at comic books, you'll see that Lex Luthor and Superman were really good friends. And it was the kryptonite that was getting ready, that was killing Superman. Lex Luthor found and devised something that would help Superman deal with the kryptonite. But then Lex Luthor had a desire to be a scientist. As he was trying to be the scientist, there was an accident. Superman saved him, but this, his life's work tipped over. It messed it all up. Lex Luthor became bald-headed, and he had to live his life bald-headed. And he said that he believed in one of the comics that Superman did this on purpose. Superman never told him he did it on purpose. He just decided that Superman dealt with it, did it on purpose. So what happens is, first, the villain is hurt. The next process, say the process, is the villain turns inward. Because I don't forgive, I turn inward. And so when I turn inward, basically my motives for doing things are not the motives for God to use them with. So basically, when I turn inward, what happens is, I'm focused on what I want instead of what God wants. And so because he turned inward, he lost his hair up. Superman tried to make it better. He didn't. But then when I turn inward, I serve myself. And so Lex Luthor becomes very rich. And although he's very successful, guess what happens? He never forgives. And so because he never forgives, he never forgets. And because he never forgets, he continues to let this fester. And because it festers, he winds up being the villain and he injures people. Not only does he injure Superman in the story, but he also injures all sorts of people around him. This is the villain's process. And a lot of us have a lot of stuff, a lot of hurts that we never dealt with, and we've kept it close to the vest, and we've allowed this to feed us and make us angry and allow us to grow. And we may be successful, but if we don't deal with it, it still causes us to wind up hurting people, and sometimes the people that are closest to us are the very people that we hurt the most. Anybody decide that you're going to be the hero? If I'm going to be the hero, I got to do this. I'm going to get hurt, right? But I'm going to turn upward. I don't care who you are. I'm not going to allow it to go inward. I might get hurt. I might have some relationship things, but guess what? I'm going to still turn upward. Because when I turn inward, that's in my flesh. And that's in my feelings, and that's keeping me bound. But when I turn upward, I turn to a higher power that allows me to be released from some stuff that used to take me out. And so not only when I turn upward, I start to serve others. Because I can't turn upward and still be so focused on myself. When I turn upward, I got to make sure that I'm serving other people. And then when I really know that God's got me, is I begin to not only just serve people, but I also genuinely try to help people be better. When I begin to help people be better, what I'm doing is I'm showing them a new process to live life. Because I understand that if I've been saved and I've been blessed, that I've got something to help teach somebody. I've got another process that somebody can live by. I got another area of belief that somebody can be helped by. And when you look at Jesus and you look at him in the previous chapters, you can see that Jesus was hurt. Jesus got an unfavorable ruling. The people that were on his side, the people that he gave miracles to, they hurt him. But Jesus says on the cross, he says, "Lord, forgive them because they know not what they do." He's not turning inward. He's turning upward. And because he turns upward, he doesn't serve himself. How many of you know Jesus could have served himself? He didn't have to take those licks. He didn't have to hang on the cross. He didn't have to bleed and die on the cross. But because he turned upward, he had a greater power than he would have had in his flesh. So he had to die. And when he died, he came back so that he could help somebody else see that there's power in the resurrected Christ. Amen. That's why he can say he's got all authority under him. him, because his goal wasn't to promote himself. It was to promote the God that we serve. I want to help you today. When you really get it in your spirit that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God, nothing is going to take me out of his presence, nothing is going to allow me to walk backwards with God, I'm going to stand flat-footed and proclaim the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't care what happens. I got to serve him just because of who he is. I don't care if I never get anything. I got to serve him. I don't care if I never get another promotion. I got to serve him. I don't care if nobody else is with me on my team. I got to serve him because I know that I am the hero. Anybody know today that you are the hero today? Anybody know that you are the hero today? Because the power you have is a result of the process you follow. Did you hear me? What I just told you, the power you have is a result of the process you follow. And so when I decide that I'm going to follow his power, I get his connection. When I decide that I'm going to have his power, I get connected with who he is and what he's doing and where he's going and what he's trying to flow in me. Listen, the Creator designed you to have a little insecurity. You're so not supposed to know how to. When you look up, and I researched Spider-Man, did you know that when they were building Spider-Man, creating the character, they wanted to call him Spider-Boy because he was bent to be a kid. And so they wanted to show during those times that there was during one of the world wars, and they wanted to show that kids could have powers. And so they wanted to create a superhero that was a child. He was a teenager. And what the Creator said was, I wanted him to be dealing with insecurity. I want Spider-Man to never know all the answers. I want Spider-Man to have to depend on somebody else to know what it's to do the next step. And if you watch the movie, you say they were saying, Peter, you got to just go with your gut. You got to just go with your feeling. You just got to go with what you've been taught. And when you just go with what you've been taught, the process always shows up. Did you hear what I just told you? When you go with what you've been taught, the process always shows up. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure about this job that I'm supposed to take. Just wait for the process, because the process will show up, because God is just like that. Because Jesus is the hero always exposes vision. I thought y'all would get excited about that. The hero always exposes vision. So check this out. He said, I've given you something to do, but I want you to know that I'm with you always. Whew, I thought y'all was going to get excited about it. Listen. He says, I've given you something to do. I know you're nervous about it. I know you're insecure about it. But check this out. I'm going to be with you. Okay. I thought y'all would get excited, but listen. It would be good if he said, when you look at it, he says, I'm with you. He doesn't say, I will be with you. He doesn't say, I was with you. He says, I'm with you. I don't care what you're dealing with. The promise was, way back then, that I'm with you. I don't know all the answers, but I'm the hero, because Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm not sure where to go. I'm not sure how to make it. But Jesus promises, I'm with you. Not I was with you. Not I did walk. Not I used to be here, but now I'm gone. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you always. I love this text, because what he's saying is, this is exactly the way we end Matthew 28 is the same way Matthew began. Ain't that just like God? When you start at the beginning of Matthew, I know y'all didn't do your homework. If you go back and do your homework, listen, check what I'm saying. Listen, when you go back to the beginning of Matthew, it opens up talking about a man named Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. He closes Matthew 28 and he says, guess what? I am with you. He says, if you just abide in me and I abide in you, you'll never, ever be alone, because I'm with you. Anybody excited about God being with you? Because I want to help you today. When God is with you, he'll show you stuff you never saw. He'll expose you to stuff you never thought you could see. He'll have you seeing stuff and moving in directions you never thought you could ever move in. I like this text. I like this movie because in the movie, there's a scene where Peter Parker got these powers. Tony Stark is dead. Tony Stark gives him all his hope. He gives him advice. He tells him how to go about things. But Tony Stark gives him this this little device, and they say, you know, put it on. And it's just some glasses. And he puts them on, but, you know, when he puts them on, they just look like glasses. And he says, now, when you put the glasses on, you got to call Edith. He said, you know, because just putting the glasses on, that's not enough. He said, just when you put the glasses on, they'll work like glasses. But when you say Edith, then the glasses come on. See, and when the glasses come on, you're in the same situation, but you see the situation differently. When you call on Edith, you're in the same danger, but you're looking at it from a different perspective. See, when you call on Edith, although it looked like you were about to die, if I call on Edith, Edith always has a solution for the situation, and all you got to do is just put your glasses on. When you put your glasses on, he said, when you just put the glasses on, where you had doubt, I got the answer. And so as he said, why do I have to call Edith? They're having this conversation. He said, why do I have to call Edith? He said, because Edith is the name of the power that you're calling on. He said, well, what does Edith mean? He said, well, Tony made this acronym, and he said, the answer is even dead, I'm the hero. He said, although I die, I can still give you a new perspective if you just put your glasses on. Although you can't see me, you'll see what I'm doing if you just put your glasses on. So I thought about that for a second. And as I was studying and doing my scripture, I want to help you to call on either today. Because even dead, Emmanuel's the hero. If you just call on the Emmanuel, God has a new perspective for you. If you just call on Emmanuel, God has deliverance with your name on it. If you just call on Emmanuel, there's some people that are giving you a hard time that I'm going to help you to see them in the right way. If you just call on Emmanuel. So I got to not just know the source of my help, but I got to know who Edith is. Anybody know who Edith is? You know who Emmanuel is? He's the one that woke you up this morning. He's the one that started you on your way. He's the one that keeps on keeping me. He's the one I lift my hands to. I just call on Emmanuel. You just got to call on Emmanuel. I know it doesn't look good to you sometimes, but he's with you. I know it doesn't feel good sometimes. But you are the hero. And for every hero, there's great responsibility. Don't run from the responsibility. Don't look for the easy way out. Don't allow anxiety, as DeAndre said, to beat you up last week. Get the best of you. No, you're the hero. And I never knew a hero without a problem. There's never ever been a hero without some situation he didn't think he could make it through. So when things get to a point where you don't think you're going to make it out, guess what? Just say, I'm the hero. I just got to call Edith. I got to know that Emmanuel, even though I can't see him, he's with me. I say this all the time. You got to trust God when you can't trace God. Just put your glasses on. See it from a different perspective. Open up the Word of God. As Dee said last week, pray and meditate. I'm amazed at how they all just kind of running together. You just got to pray and meditate and allow God, Edith, to show up in your life. Because even though you can't see it, He already knows the answer. Ain't that something? He had a situation where he was about to die, and he just said, "Eat it." And the next thing you know, all these drones and everything just start coming out of the plate, and next thing you know, he was the victor. Listen, that's how God shows up in your life. I don't know how he's going to show up. I don't know when he's going to show up, but I know that he's with me. So I got to make sure that I'm following him in every stage, every circumstance of my life, because I know him. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help, because why? My help comes from the Lord. As we open the doors of the church, maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I'm not the hero of my own story, but Pastor E, I want to be the hero. I want to be the hero. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I'm a hero in the making. So Pastor, will you just pray for me, because I'm really working hard on being the hero that God has designed for me to be. I'm far from home, but I really want to be the hero.
That a powerful word today. Listen, partner with us. Text TLC Humble to 77977 and participate in all of the things that we have going on in the Humble Love community. Also, if you want to follow us, connect with us on social media. Go to Facebook, Humble TLC. Follow me, Lacey World. Go to YouTube. Make sure you get all of the announcement videos at TLC Humble from YouTube. Or if you want to just follow us on the web, go to tlchumble.org. We'd love for you to be involved in the love community. So share with a friend of yours, especially if you've been blessed today. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.